I don't know if people are kind of laid back. Dear Lord Father, thank you for the session 3. We want to really personalize everything that we talked about, the discipleship and making discipleship and community. Father, this part we really want to evaluate ourselves and find our strengths and our weaknesses. Really help guide us and help us to really be sincere, honest, and earnest. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay. We call this art of shepherding. So more than just a Bible teacher or a disciple maker, we want to be a shepherd. So this is just things that to think about. Hebrews 5:3, let's read this together. Okay, let it go.
Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care.
Even if you're not one from Bible teacher, you can be a shepherd. Your family, your children, your coworkers at work, patients, all God's teachers. And of course, we're God's too. So when you receive this calling to serve the Lord, He calls us. And little shepherds. And we are, God calls us to be shepherds. This is charge for elders. Or more mature Christian to be shepherd of God's word. Under your care. Nothing happens by chance. There's a reason why this person is in your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's not coincidence. God is thinking too. Especially somebody with not a problem we want to avoid. But there's a reason why God, that person is in your life. So we can be shepherds. Okay. To be a shepherd, we need these things. Conviction, calling, and commitment. So do you have conviction? You can check if you have. Do you have calling? Calling is God calling. I know God calling. And I receive this word. Okay. You have a commitment. And then stick around. Okay. Even if I'm not doing a good job, I'm going to stick around. I'm committed. Who has all three? Ooh. Okay. Okay. However, that's not enough. You're shepherd. That's only the beginning. To be a shepherd, you also need skill set. Are you competent? What's that, competent? Yeah. You're competent? Collaboration? We talked about right now. Helping each other, working as a team. Do you collaborate? Or do you have good communication? It's good to collaborate. Competence, collaboration, communication. Who has all three?
I must have all three. But I told you really, I'm doing good for collaboration for 13 people.
Okay, so we'll go into details. Competence. To be a shepherd, you have prepared Bible study material. Do you pray? Do you give time and resources? Who has all three? Okay, discipline. I'm emotionally healthy. I make an effort to maintain mental and grow in my mental.
Acuity.
Acuity, yeah, acuity. Sorry, acuity. discernment and to offer discernment and mental capacity. Love the Lord your God with all your mind. Okay? It's not about feeling, oh, I just feel like God, I just feel. I feel so much passion. I just feel like, no, no. Right? I feel like I want to try to be a doctor. No. You need your GPA. Yeah. And also, you have to be a shepherd. It's very hard job emotionally. Mm-hmm. You need to be in that emotionally stable. It's very important. Okay, put into practice, that's it. Real practice. So who has all three? Thanks for your honesty. You want anybody to have more questions?
Okay.
Who is not emotionally healthy here? Meaning you have severe anger problem, you are a borderline personality, and you have a victim complex, those things, right? You take things way too limited, things that are not healthy. Critical of others. Nobody? Everybody's healthy?
Most of the time.
Okay, growth. Oh, sorry. I just want to ask, what's the spiritual climate like at UWM? Mm-hmm. Like, is there a strong atheist population?
Great
oppression?
No. Yeah. It's very friendly. Mm-hmm. But the problem is in that many students have doubts in the program. They have a doubt and they come to school to study to get their degree. So many students, they do not stay in school. They just come to take a class and leave. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of difficult to catch them. Mm-hmm. But they are very nice. Mm-hmm. They are not very and then there are a lot of Catholic and Lutheran church populations. Mm-hmm. But even though they have a lot of a Lutheran and Catholic church background, not many people really had a Bible studies intentionally before. Mm-hmm. So they know something, but not really directly. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about the Bible, they are not really rejecting right away. But then, even though they reject it very nicely, they are not really attacking people. Mm-hmm. And they're very nice people. I was in UIC too. I was in Chicago.
Mm.
So when I went to UIC campus for teaching ministry, it's a 10 times better. So when I came to teaching ministry for Ukrainian students, these students are angels.
Ukrainian students?
Yeah. UIC students, if you try to talk with them, as soon as you, when you try to talk or invite Jesus to talk
with them. What?
They do not allow me to talk with them.
It changed a lot, but I understand. Way back, you go toward them and they walk across the street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was not that easy at all.
When we came to New York about 30 years ago, and 30 years ago, there's only a few ministries right here.
Mm.
And we are just one of them. Two ministries of Moonies, and then UBS, and then two others. That's it. And now we have many, I think, IBF, CCC, and then those others, cornerstones, like that. Mm-hmm. They're connected to that.
So I ask because I think part of maintaining mental acuity and growing your capacity. Mm-hmm. It should also be directed by like what student population mm-hmm. is like. So if there's somebody at USC who's, a lot of his friends are atheists, and he's like, oh, the new atheist movement is so aggressive, mm-hmm. but he feels such responsibility to put himself in a apologetic chair.
Yeah.
So like just like being aware of what the needs are.
Yeah, also, 4-5 years ago, you know, they started Muslim Awareness Week. Every year, for Holy Week, the Muslims have evangelist event all day long.
Mm. And most of the students who try to evangelize.
And I was shocked because these Catholic kids, they just go out of curiosity and they convert on the spot.
For sure?
Yes.
Oh my God.
They give life testimonies, and I was shocked. I could not believe it. How much money and resources they put into recruit Muslims. The package is so well.
When I looked at one end, like, Muslim, how is going? I think there was a Muslim all this week. So the energy is very strong, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, when I do the table ministry, we have a table ministry once a week. We just officially have our own table in my students, the Bible study. Sometimes when I have our own table, my next is the table for the Mormon. And the other side is the Muslim students, they have their table. And the other side is the Lutheran church. So it's like a wishing that word online.
Yeah.
It's a Jewish ministry, and Jewish and Muslim, they fight. So, usually, the Mormon, usually, they send very young and pretty girls, and sitting down, and many young boys go down. Nowadays, only pretty girls sitting down.
Oh,
white and blondie and pretty.
All the guys were shut out.
Yeah, boys are, used to be a boy there, but nowadays not anymore. I think they
come on Thursday.
Thursday is the old boys.
Yeah,
now.
So I was going to say that since then I began to study about Muslim faith, and I took two classes on Quran, so I can talk to them. And before they were so antagonistic, but now that I know Quran, I can talk to them. And I say, you know, in that chapter, blah, 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 and that verse says, what do you think about this? And they don't. I realized they didn't read the Quran. Anti-Christian. So when I use Quran, they listen, and they carry on that, and plant out. So, yeah, I guess Sarah's point is you have to be aware of what's going on in the community. Growth. Am I teachable? Am I intuitively curious to learn? Am I going to apply the best work? So that's just for us. As a shepherd, we need this kind of desire to learn. Godliness. The gifts of the fruits of the Spirit. Do I display the fruits of the Spirit? Am I thankful, optimistic? Am I committed? Do I have connection? Am I reliable? So please add all the points from part one, competence. And do not think too highly of this.
Like a bonus
point. We should all get one point.
Tenacity means kind of what consistency or just what we do.
From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, and each part does its work. So, first part, do you see the big picture? Meaning, do I always see what God is doing? Right? For the glory of God. And then also, do I have big goal of advancing this kingdom? If you have a big picture, then you can be flexible and supportive, to be supportive and work together. So, okay. Number two, adaptable. Am I teachable? Can I learn from someone who's younger than me? Can I learn from who are older than me? Can I learn from, you know, opposite gender? Can I learn from even kids? Or am I emotionally secure? You can take rebuke. You can take correction. Am I creative and flexible? Oh, I went fishing. Nobody wants to study Bible with me. Then, you know, I'll do something else. Maybe you can have a party at your house and invite people. I don't know. Yeah, creative. Selfless. I make every effort to please God. I'm service-minded. I invest in people. So, yeah, I'm kind of lonely and bored. You know, I can stay here. Maybe I can... You can keep a tutor for, or have a weekday Bible study for kids. That's an idea, right? Or even staying home mom. So you are always thinking about how to serve others. Mm-hmm. Well, John is stepping down as a music teacher. Maybe I can. Even though I'm tone deaf. Okay, relationship. I value interdependence more than independence. I think it's important to strengthen both horizontal me and others and vertical God and us relationships. So we work on working with each other, but also we pray for others' spiritual life. Mm-hmm. I add value to others by offering the best of me. Communication. I share information with my teammates. I have regular prayer meeting with my teammates in quarters or fellowship meetings. So if you add these points, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Well, I missed 13.
Yeah.
Who had 13 points? Who's above 10?
It's about five. Is it amazing? About five?
No. Yeah, I'll be seven.
Ten.
Well, then we are above ten. Mm.
Okay. And so, also, I think it's very important to know who your teammates are. Who is the ministry partner? Who is your prayer partner? Who encourages you? Other than, and you should build this, you should at least have five people in your life who's investing in you and working with you. Not just one Bible teacher, but a prayer partner, an encourager, accountability partner, and things like that. And also, you should be someone else's prayer partner and encourager and mentor for Bible teacher. So there's this network. Okay. Are you a good team player? How can you improve? What is your weakness and strength regarding teamwork? Okay, let's share.
And you know, it's for me, you know, yes, everyone is in my teammate. But especially among women, everyone, such as Thomas and Jeff, usually tell up, they are my teammates. So we get together and we build a partnership and the fellowship and co-workmanship. So thank God that we have a kind of team, kind of women's team, young disciples, so young disciples, young disciples. Yeah? So I think it's a good chance for us to build up in fellowship and friendship and coordinates of commandments. That's for me, and I'll try to
share. Anybody who wants to share ways they can improve? I think you can only grow if you know how to improve.
Yeah, well, I'd like to spend more time with Abigail, you know, in prayer and then fishing together or, you know, things like that, or praising, having a praise time together. I think that'll really be a blessing for teamwork. Because if I can't have teamwork with my own wife, then it'll be hard for other people, you know, too, so.
Yeah, some people are good at training the other people rather than their wife.
I think it's a good idea that you talk about the schedule. And you should be aware of everyone's schedule. Because it allows for better planning.
Right.
And so, if we're caught in something that's not like, you don't want to, but that's just not the best timing for you or not the best timing for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all know that it's
right. Easier. Yeah, right. So you can say, hey Charles, I know you're free Tuesday night. Can I come over and eat at your house? And pray. Or to talk and pray. You know, I mean, I think you should
be able to do that. Yeah. Mm. Actually, the mission Caleb, when he came to our church, he asked me whether I can go out for playing the tennis, something like that. But the problem is that I don't play the tennis. So it was kind of a... But he tried to make a team, but I said no. I don't like the team, so... Hey! Found it, I myself is really more like a lone player. I like to play the alone. Something I have to improve somehow.
When I was young, I was kind of a lone player too, but the older I become, the more I realize how important it is for me to work as a team. So I cannot do everything by myself. So I, the more the Lord I become, the more I realize my limits. I realize I'm limited. Not only just for the task, for the mission, but also for the country. The more I really love the importance of working with each other, more and more than before.
I am also, I love working with people. So, not, I think I could grow on creativity, flexibility.
What do you mean?
Huh? One time I kind of, for instance, approaching children's ministry, I don't know what angle to use and how to approach children's ministry. And then also, for fishing and evangelism. Oftentimes they don't have a good idea how to do it effectively.
When I realize that collaboration does not take by chance, I must take an effort. And I think to learn my people and he asked my people to help me purity. Sometimes I have a tendency to just do it by myself. Do everything by myself. But if I do it, I cannot really do the disciples ministry. So I have to ask other people. I have to be able to ask other people's help.
Okay, let's go to the next part. I think for collaboration to happen, you have to communicate. Yeah. I think it's so, you need for meetings, and it's agenda-driven. You have to really, I think, get to know each other. The communication. So, for students, yeah. But I think you should start in the community, so you get to know each other through communication. And learn, develop your communication skill so that you can also listen and communicate with other students or people in your life. Your first listening, when you first meet Bible students, do you go right into Bible study first time?
Yeah.
Is that the speaker?
So before saying the starting Bible study,
Just asking them how are you doing, or something, how do you feel, or anything. But also, before you begin Bible study, like first two, first or first or second session, I usually talk to them to get to know them, like the whole hour. And I don't go into Bible study because I don't know what to study and what's the best thing they need. So I need to know so that Bible study is very on target. And so listening and interviewing is very important.
Yeah, I don't talk for 1 hour, but I spend maybe 5 minutes and still chatting with them to find out how's going for their school study and everything. And then remember, like you said last time, like, oh, you said you are going to take the test last week. How was your test? How's your job going?
In Bible study, I think our goal is to listen and help them learn to listen to God. examining the word. Because your ultimate goal, like we said earlier, you don't want to raise an inch sheep who you have to spoon feed. You want to really instill this desire for truth into his heart, ask some questions, hoping and helping to read the verse, and then ask them, what do you think? It doesn't mean asking, keep asking questions, couldn't help. So that, you know, after maybe a year, you say, wow, I've been reading this, and I learned this. You know, you want to really get them excited about Bible study, not to study only when you're feeding them. They just open their mouth. It's not good Bible preparation. You want them to become Bible students, persons. And I have a clear prayer topic for Bible students, very important. If you listen, you pray, and you can find prayer topics. And prayer topic should not be pray that they may come to Bible school. That's what a lot of people write. And what is your prayer topic for this year? They may come to Bible school. You want them to meet Jesus, accept Christ. And you want them to do, right? Find that verse in Christ. Or repent of certain sin.
Yeah.
Right? Make the right decision before God. Not to come to Bible
school. Yeah.
But to find a really good prayer topic needs really insight. That's why you have to listen. Listen to them and listen to God. And also when we study Bible together, we're both listening to God. What is God saying to me? What is God saying to that person? They listen, and then they say, okay. And that's your person.
I took to the mission to set up a few times, and I realized that she's very insightful in knowing a clear topic for people. And Dr. Samuel had an amazing book. And they said, he's an amazing man in English. But he's very insightful. He knows a clear topic, of course. I realized that how important for me to listen to them and what they're saying, and what is God speaking to me for the person, so that I'm a critical. How do you find a critical topic? I mean, you're already listening to them, and how can you listen to God's voice and God's word? So usually, how can you give some kind of tip?
I think basically, very simply, you know, people have to be aligned to God.
Okay?
So first Bible study, we study creation faith. There's God, there's you, he's creator, you're created. Okay? So he's above you, you are created for him. And so my prayer topic will be they may really live for God. This is my prayer topic.
So we're talking about these Bible studies and how to be Bible teachers. So when you have a group of like 10 people, this is applying to every type of Bible study. But some people just might attend group Bible studies.
Yeah.
So
I think whoever comes to Bible study should really feel created by God.
Yeah.
And whatever problem, I think we can easily get sucked into their problem. So I put, do not follow your sheep, warning. This is what happened to me before. This is really like studying the Bible and the Genesis chapter. And this person, I'm not really doing well in school. I flunked my test. You know what I do? Okay, let me tutor you. So I used to tutor. And I'm helping them to get a good grade. What did I do? I just helped them to do well in school. But how does that help them? And I just said, wait a minute. I'm not a tutor. I can't be their problem solver. right? I'm not a social worker. I'm not their mom. I'm not their, you know, babysitter. Because I'm very good-minded too. I'm a mom. So instinctively, I try to solve their problem. But then, what is God saying? Right? He said, why are you in school? I asked them, why are you in school? Why are you pre-med? If you're not a good student, right? If you're flunking bio 101, why are you pre-med? And then I find out they want to make money. What they want, right? They're ambitious. I said, no, don't, just drop the class. Don't be pre-med. Be a communication major. You know, it's okay. But you need to accept God is critical. Your life is not your own. Submit your future to God. So I changed. But for so long, I followed him and go, solve problem after another problem after another problem. And then they become medical students. And then, bye! Thank you for your help! What just happened? Yeah. So, my insight is not, like, I'm not psychic, but this is what the Bible says. I'm going to stick to it. And then sometimes they say, oh, I have this problem, my mom, like Tina. Oh, my mom, my child, blah, 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 blah. Right? And listening, oh, you have so many problems, you're such a victim, that's terrible, you're so, you know, I should pity you, can you eat some food? You know what your problem is? You complain! Right? That's insight. Christians should be thankful.
Yeah.
Don't complain. So, let's just think progress. You know, there's so many things for you. So I realized it's so easy to fall into people's problems, like solve their problem, and sympathize. But I have to come back to the Bible. You know, what does the Bible say? And it seems like 99.9% is always right. Whatever Bible says is right. But then they, that's not true, you don't understand me. No. Okay, I don't, but that's not the Bible. Your problem is a complainer. Nothing. That's your problem. Okay, okay. You got this right there. To be a good communicator, listening is huge, body language. Can you show us an example about making use of interdiction? Well, I think it's in the why they came to Bible study. And then what they think about God, their relationship with God, their view of Him Christ, and what their expectation is. And then also I asked them how many times can you come to Bible study? Like how long it takes to study Bible? How many times do you have? I usually ask them, can you come to the house? It's class. Right? Can you ask them? And then what do you expect from me? Right? What is your expectation? And also what I can offer? What is my expectation? You're asking some kind of understanding.
Yeah.
So by the end of the semester, where do you want to be? On your commitments, where do you want to be? Yeah, it should be clear. Syllabus. Clear syllabus.
From the outset, from the, from the beginning.
And I always tell them, oh, yes, you're very lucky you're studying with me. Okay, this is what I can offer. How about you? What can you offer? Or where are you coming from? Yes, you should be clear. You're not begging them to study with you.
That's true.
It's a privilege.
Yeah, so if they say, well, I don't know, maybe I'll call you or something, is it good to, maybe don't just call the person once, don't keep calling the person. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just what I heard from people that they said, oh yeah, they kept calling me and, you know.
Yeah.
But you want to kind of give them some time and maybe they'll come back.
I think it's up to your faith.
Yeah.
Some people came after 10 times calling. Some people, you know, call the police after 2 times of calling. Yeah, you never know.
Yeah.
Also, like, check their attitude and why you want to pursue that person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I have to hold on to this person. Like, we're going to slip out of my fingers. Or is there, like, obeying Jesus? Yeah, if you really have conviction, this person really needs Jesus, and you're going to call me. But usually I just say, okay, too bad for you. For interview questions, I also like to make this your time to build a relationship with my students, to like kind of understand more, you know, who they are as a person, where they come from. So I also like to know their religious community, or also maybe their family's life, or kind of hobbies they have. Getting to know that person. Yeah. Really be interested in that person. I'm not so much. You work on English, work on, English class, get the class, get a speech therapist, ask your friend's opinion about your communication skills, and don't speak Christianese. Christianese, full of grace and sweetness and God's grace. People don't understand that. And also, if you understand them, if you can speak their love language, you can know how they receive love, right? And keep culturally relevant. And one thing, I think, for Korean missionaries, please don't talk about Korea. Oh yeah, when I went to army in Korea, not relevant. Talk about now. What's going on now? Did you hear about this Christian rapper, Lecrae? Yeah. On YouTube, Lecrae, amazing Christian rapper. He shares the gospel in 1 minute by rapping.
Wow.
So, if you want to talk about it, I just saw you yesterday. Aware of my students' cultural and social etiquette. We don't want to make them into Korean. Right? We don't want to build this kind of cultural barrier. We don't want to meet them where they are. Okay, quality time, spend time with them outside of Bible study. They're not a person. And hopefully they will want to spend time with you instead of you stalking them. Or there are people who are really better at, you know, spending quality time. Then you can recruit them to, hey, can you spend time with this person? Okay. Strategy and goal. So the plan for Bible study, like I said, you know, semester of 1 year, where are you taking this person? And also have 4-year plan. It's good to invest in young freshmen or sophomore because you have a few years. Invest in them and have a plan. 4-year plan, 3-year plan, 2-year plan, 1-year plan, semester plan. I'm all about taking hold and get there. So that by the time they graduate or they are done with you, they should be equipped to be disciples. Mm. Otherwise, you study with them indefinitely, 10 years, and they're still sheep.
Mm.
Not
there.
Mm. 3 or 4 years.
Mm.
And then you should know that you're good at it, right? If they're not being equipped something, you're not doing something right. Like, you know, math, too. After 4 years, you should go from algebra, geometry, trig, and calculus.
Mm-hmm.
You can't stay the same. So you gotta move on. And also, I have evaluation at the end of the semester or year. How am I doing as a Bible teacher or mentor?
The Bible language.
The Bible language?
Mm.
Yes. Bible language. Like, I can't, I'm looking around, I'm looking at sentences with everybody. Do not be following. Yawning during Bible time. Causing yawn. This is like negative, right? I'm not open to you. And so, turn off your phone, but not your patient.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? Oh, I wrote this to Sarah. My daughter.
That was nice.
She walks around during Bible study, so she gets all jittery.
Oh. Why she's teaching the Bible?
Is she going to speak?
She has ADHD.
She has?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And very hard for her to focus. So she has to walk around. Sometimes.
Mm.
She's getting nervous.
How about coffee?
Coffee? Every time I buy one, I get coffee. Anyway,
I agree on coffee too. Coffee or tea, either one.
Yeah.
The reason I put this is if you're going to drink coffee, make sure you don't have coffee breath. You're breathing into them and
you're,
whoa.
In our church, we have a coffee here. Somebody asked my students whether they want to have coffee together. So, if we drink coffee together, we feel like we're in the coffee shop.
So the last one, what areas do you need more work on? What is your action plan? Who's your accountability partner? So let's take 2 minutes to write down something concrete. Okay? We've talked a lot of things. So let's make action plans. Something that's realistic.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Well, maybe I can grow in that way.
I can grow to be all comfortable.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you want to, yeah, find prayer topic, someone who prays. You need to plan, someone who, yeah. That is, finding the right partner is very important. Just because you get along doesn't mean it's a good partner, good fit. That's just friends, you know, buddy. But accountability for ministry, it has to be somebody who can help you develop and challenge you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next, then.
Oh, sure.
What areas do you need to work on?
So, to start off with, I need to dedicate my a particular time slot. Because something about time is my schedule just gets more jumbled, and then I oftentimes end up not allocating the proper time, and I get distracted. And so for me, I have to make that a clear time slot and then I need to be more competent.
More
competent? Yeah.
Bible study?
Yeah, Bible study. Being able to prepare more, learn how to pray more
diligently.
Who's your accountability person? That's a good question. There's people that I talk to, but I don't really have one that I would call it. I'm not comfortable with it. So I still need to find one.
So if you want that, then that can be.
He's your Bible teacher?
Yeah.
Okay. So he should be your accountability partner too.
Mm-hmm.
But also if you want to grow in like competency, then you need to sit down and make some kind of goal plan.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can pray together about it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, because your time limit, and also where you are spiritually, you're coming around. So,
don't think too much about, like, you know, giving to you. But yes, so you do learn by serving, right? But be very focused. To even if you do one question, really well. That unity.
Alright, so, I think spending more time, you know, in order to be a good Bible teacher or someone to encourage others, I need to spend more time praying to God and faith, you know, becoming a strong man of prayer and building a closer relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And also to grow, and that's me and Greg are encouraging each other by living together, so through daily bread and also having a closer relationship with coworkers. I know it's hard for everybody. We're all busy. So I think accountability partner is something new to me that I've never really I think he had one, or I mean, that test called my Bible teacher, so he asked me, you know, when, you know, when we're going to have Bible study, and, you know, when can we meet to make sure, you know, I'm on point, but.
Yeah, it's fine. And also, there's a series called Quest for Manhood. The DVD series.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to find it for you. Actually, I have and I highly recommend you do it. And I think you can start like a group of guys to come and watch it as a disciple. Is that a disciple?
Bible.
Okay, I think it'll be really different. I think it can develop as men of encouragement.
Yeah, I think I have to work on my collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to work alone many times because sometimes I was I do better when I work alone. Sometimes I develop some headache to work alone. Okay, I feel like I need a very full collaboration. Did you know the chapter I used to say like mission chapter 2 and chapter 2 we used to have just one or two quarters, and then even though we have only one or two other quarters, sometimes we don't have a really good message to each other anyway. So I used to work for long, so many years, more than maybe 10 years in chapter, and then I came to chapter 1 and we come together, and then I suddenly realized that my skill for collaboration is not really good. And then, so my action plan is to make a team to serve that mission together. I should twice with my coworkers or with my students, And then my accountability partner is Pastor Paul and Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
We have a men's meeting every Friday, and we praise each other, and we really help each other. And then Hannah is of my accountability partner. She's heading to me many times.
Okay, Hannah, what area? Yeah, I'm going to work on the collaboration. So, and I think it's just a lot of others to them. I hesitated to call somebody to give a ride, to ask to give a ride to my children, because here, amongst the women who are working, I know they are tired and busy, so I try to do my best by myself and not to burden them. That work is actually a thing. I'm so glad in the mission Abigail helped the children. I'm cooking partner. Yeah, you can give her food and she can
enjoy it. I don't show a poor woman any fences for her.
I need more specific time for my Bible students for Kashmir or for having the shutting in. I was focused on current situation, but I need long-term plan is important. I realize that a long-term plan is also important. And also I need to repent of my indifferent spirit and to learn to use this compassion heart. So I need to invest, I need to work on investing in other people and nurturing them so that they may help me to develop my collaboration as well. And my accountability partner may be ensuring that way.
Okay. Well, yeah, there you are. Need to work on most is in communications. Not mumbling and staying, with a point in my Bible studies and also speaking less. I mean, I guess I've had some Bible students that are really quiet. So, but I think I just need to maybe ask more questions and also help them to, I mean, I've also had Bible students that talk too much also. So, I don't know. But overall, just improving that. And then, also my plan is to, I want to pray to go out and, go fishing, or find new Bible students, that are really eager to grow in the Lord. I think, I need, I need my heart to be ready, and my plan is to really, I know I need more prayer as well. So, those are some of the things. And also just, I think to grow more in my co-working with Abigail too for the ministry. I think that'll be important. Actually, the first time we went out to go fishing together, or finding people to bounce together, that was when the time when you got one of your most faithful Bible students.
Yeah, she did. So. Yeah, God bless our collaboration.
So, my accountability partner, and I would say John, but I don't know if that's not possible. And then I would say Abigail, as my accountability partner. Pastor Paul,
That is the product of the accountability partner will be changed very soon, right? If we marry.
I want to work on to make a plan for the Bible study. And at the same time, when we were in Florida for 6 years, and suppose that he really talked to me a lot in many areas, practically. So he gave me a lot of directions, what to do, and what kind of things is really effective to the Bible students, because he's a lot of kind of experience to take care of by the students. So that was really effective to me. And at the same time, I have really filled with the word of God, fully in my heart first, so I can give them something to do. And it's not by my own, but by the power of God. And I just do it. Just do it quickly, or don't drag back. Just do it. Just do not think particularly like that. I think that's to be important to me. And then my accountability partner, and of course the signature.
Okay, as for me, I think I scored the lowest in communication. And there's a middle, it's very important to how I communicate. So to build up faith in the Christian community around in our church. So sometimes I know the truth, but sometimes I speak the truth without love and grace. Say when to think to speak the truth in love. And so kind of become a good communicator. And secondly, I need a clear topic for each person. I know my share, I have my sense. And I have a really clear topic which comes from God for the person I serve. And then, strategy, then James probably knows the second time is kind of clear what happened for him, to help him to raise him up as a disciple maker in 3 years.
Mm.
And I told him, you have to move out in
3 years. I have 5 years
total. Yeah, 5 years.
So I pick up for him to get married before he moves out.
Mm.
And it took more than 3 years, but he established a family, Christian family.
Mm.
And he moved out in 5 years. He's going as a disciple in Mako. So I thank God that so I realized that how important for me to create a target,
mm-hmm.
and then it is a 3 or 4 year plan, which was,
mm-hmm.
I cannot as a service ship, you know, letting him stay as a partnership.
Mm-hmm.
I have to really challenge each person towards disciple, maker. And then came to a Bible study, he said, we had only 18 months together, to spend time together, because originally I want to finish a prayer program by next June, I think. Yeah. So I had only 18 months. How can I help him to go as a disciple, to make disciple, beautiful disciple, make one?
Mm.
And instead, he was very grateful for us to come and equip the pastor. He said, I only need, you know, less than 18 months. Yeah. You're 15 months. And you can hear, so when he spent 1 more year fellowship, he worked with him, say, more than to see him, you know. Becoming a disciple maker.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I learned in becoming a good communicator. Sometimes you know it knows that you need more grace, more grace, more grace. Since I kind of accountability quite to know. But Charles and Jeff, it's our young disciples, John and Mark and James,
So go complete on think I need to pray more. And so I need to heal from the people and also heal from the
I think I'm a good job of company. Where's my coach?
Actually, I'm done.
Mm.
Is there anything else? you want to be? It's 5:30.
Wow. So, okay. 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 I thank God for investing in the thank God for service. I was really blessed by this connection. It's what made me think about using my research ministry. So I want to really reflect on what I have done today and to put it into practice. So this is my testimony. And then now maybe we can use some time here to ask some questions. So question in 2 days or so. So we are If you take some questions about how to put this out here for any questions.
Dr. Shinryu and Vishen Geishi help you to become a disciple of Jesus.
I don't think they did anything.
Yeah,
I think they just
look
like
me. So, through watching them,
I knew what to follow Christ. And they were pretty, I learned from my dad, he's pretty curious about following Christ. And there are a few moments that really impressed me. One is, there are a lot of things, but one thing is, Shepherd Heart. There was it was my Bible student, John Palin. And he has survived all of his body. He was 18 years old, freshman in college. And as you know, it was a serious problem. All his ulcer, all over. All his ear, all over. And then my father found out about it, and he said, oh, bring him to my office, I'll pray for him. He came, and he prayed for him, and then he got a bucket of salt water, and he washed him. He said, take off your clothes. He said, underwear. I better leave the room. He cleaned up and down.
He knew something wrong.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's medically correct thing, but anyway, he cleaned it, and he said, the outside and mind of him. So he sent him. And he did that whole summer every day to come to my house. Pray for him and wash him. And then Mother Mary said, well, you should get like a written consent that you're doing this. And he said, why? I'm doing it because I love him. And I want to help him. If he sues me, it's okay. I'll go to jail. But I'm gonna do it. I don't need, to protect myself. And he did. And you know what? He went to doctor after 3 months. It was true. Doctors could not believe it. The psoriasis is genetic. He came to it. And they said, you don't have it anymore. Can you believe it? And then guess what? He sued him.
After he was cured?
Yes.
Why did he cure?
Because there are a lot of people who were against EDF. And then they said, oh, I heard he healed her. Practice medicine without license. And he said, if you sue him, we'll give you a car. So he got a car and he sued me then.
That's amazing story.
And then I called him and said, I can't believe what you did. He said, I didn't know they were gonna, take this part. Anyway. And he said, well, can we God deal with you? But he did. And then nothing happened from it. Because, what did he use? Salt water. So he didn't even go to the court. But anyway, he got sued.
because he really cared about me. And I saw it, and it was very close to me because he was my Bible student.
Mm-hmm.
He said, why would he do that? Totally understood. You know? So it kind of glows to me.
Rubbing
his ear. Yeah. His salt water is fun.
Uh-huh.
And I said, wow. He said, really shepherd me. And I said, oh, beyond. So I said, oh. He's not in it for money or anything, recognition. So that's one example, but he really saw his life. And he never preached to me. Mm-hmm. Like I said, he shared gospel with me. Like, mm-hmm. Like a low point in my life. But he didn't, he did this, he's fighting. He never said that. And he just lived it out. So, and every morning, he goes to church until noon. He's reading Bible all morning, all morning until noon. And I was his secretary, and I just watch, get the phone, and watch the door. Nobody comes. And sometimes there's problems in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And he writes one verse. Whole notebook. And then he was and then people were struggling to accept the greed that he and struggle spiritually, not with people. And then, last thing is when he was sick with pneumonia, he almost died.
Right.
And then they resuscitated him. The doctor, he said, why did you resuscitate me? I wanted to go to heaven, see my mom. He was not happy to be alive. And then there were a lot of problems in the church, bunch of people left. And all these leaders are calling him in the morning, what should we do? He said, why? They're my sons. Tell them, let them have it all. Give them all the church building. Give them all everything. Right? And if you don't give them, you're fired. Right? They're my children. And I said, he said, I can't believe this boy with me for 40 years. I should have been dead. They stuck with me. Now they need independence. Give them everything. Give them everything. And then I asked him, Dad, what are you going to do with your dad? He said, I don't know. It's not my job. I did what I had to do. And I'm going to heaven. And God will do it. This is God's church. And he had no plan. No success, nothing. He said, I finished. And I said, wow. And then he's every day singing, hymns. And he said, can't wait to see Jesus. And I said, wow, he really lives by way of religion. And then he died. I said, wow. What a life, So that's why I really lived what he used to live by.
He really believed.
Yeah, he really believed.
And then he lived.
He lived it. Yeah. Lived the life he was like walking Bible.
Wow. I think that's an answer.
Yeah.
That's an example.
And then there was a one verse that he gave me, healing ministry verse, Ephesians 6:1. Children obey their parents in the Lord. Since I was little, until he died. Every year. I'm 40, I'm mother, so every year I write a few verses. I'm divine, you're the greatest. Or, love the Lord your God with all your heart. And he said, no, rewrite. Ephesians 6:1. And I said, Dad, you're trying to use this against me, so I obey you. He said, no. That's your teaching. Always obey him. One verse. All my life. And then the year he died in January, but that year, I finally accept that verse. And I wrote a testimony, and he said, oh, I changed. For key verse to Genesis 17, Sarah will be Sarah, mother of all nations. Kings will come from you. So I give him the key verse. And then 10 days later, he died. And the one thing I learned from him is to obey. Like I obey my hands. Like absolutely obey. And whatever God say, I obey. That's one spiritual heritage he taught me. Okay, guys, okay. So how do you know what obedience is if you can't, you know, obey your parents? Obey selectively. It depends if it's spiritual, if it's not. You can always obey. And then he's gone, now I obey. Whatever God says. And then give me, you know, my name, Sarah. He gave me key verse to be Mother Nations, kings of people come. And I claim it. So after he passed away, I say, I'm the Mother Nations. I say, Mother Nations. Good night, everybody. And also kings of people come. Raise kings, spiritual kings. Raise leaders. To in love other people like my own children. And I think that's also my parenting. I treat my kids like sheep, obviously. Means you want to help them spiritually. And take care of my Bible student, like my children. Really care about them.
Wow. Great. Thank you. Thanks so much.
It was a good answer.
Any other questions?
So the art of supporting him though, is quality time, I spend time with my students outside with the Bible study. And under the depends on person, needs clear boundaries. I just wonder what clear boundaries are. Like what kind of clear boundaries?
Yeah, I think the purpose of spending time with a Bible student is to make build relationship and also really see their life outside of this teaching, because they could be learning something, but then how are they really living? What are they doing with their time? Are they going clubbing? Are they just studying all the time? Do they have friends? Because you want them to practice what they learn in their everyday life. So you want to see them in real life. That's one purpose. But have you clear? And also depending on the person, sometimes you don't really need to spend time to know them because they're pretty open with you. And also the boundary thing is, as you have to be very professional about, you should love them, but you have to be very professional about your relationship. You should not become emotionally attached to your spouse. Like doctor, you know, you have to keep their person, you are there to serve them. You're offering service, you're a Bible teacher, mentor, example, but you're not there, you can't be too like friends. It kind of makes you sure.
So it's like empathy, that you understand their feeling, you agree with their feeling, but you don't, you understand them.
Right. So you want to spend time to understand them, so you can better help. Support them and guide them, and sometimes you hear things like, why are you lying on this smoking pot? That's not good. Or something like that. What are you watching from this? But you shouldn't get too emotionally, because you will get hurt. And that's one of the pitfalls of student ministry. You get emotionally, you know, attached, and you get hurt. And this stuff I was.
It's a kind of one of the principles of the counseling. You have to go with empathy, understand those people, but you cannot get a reflection from those people. Because of that, if you, it's like emotionally, sometimes it's like your students' emotional feeling, your emotional feeling becomes together, becomes one, then you are going to lose your objective.
Yeah.
So
transference.
Yeah, transference, exactly. So she to affect the feeling to you and they become transference into positive. Now your vibrations feeling, my feeling, emotion becomes one. It should be called transference. Then you are going to lose your objective to understand your student. You become subjective. Then you cannot have, actually it's a kind of counseling 101.
I'll just follow.
You cannot help your patient anymore. That's what happens. So it's a, even though you go out to your Bible students, spend time, but still you have to keep your boundary. That's the point. You become objective continually so that you have to understand if some kind of feeling comes together, make sure your common feeling goes together with instead of your feelings. Keep the boundary continually. It's a very objective continually. And then in this way you can help them objectively. But it's not easy, right? Sometimes
it's not easy.
Yeah.
So you have community in court to God or someone who's more mature.
It's almost like a professional title of treatment if you become like that. It's very becoming like a professional, you're helping the people. That's my previous major is social work. Before becoming a dentist, I have finished my social work master, actually a master degree, so I learned all those counseling skills and everything. The counseling skill really helps me to as a body teacher when I teach my students, but sometimes if you go, but the problem is that sometimes if you go too much, like professionally, you become too cold.
Time's up.
Yeah. Like that, you become very cold with your students. It's like, whatever they say, I'm sorry to hear that, but you never lose your heart because of your students. If you take the opposite of what Dr. Shen really did, he just go read the picture and close it. If we go too much, you will never do that.
So you can really love and pray for that person and cry for them, but your heart really
is church.
Yeah, in God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about you. They don't accept and okay. You're still a target broken, but it's not that they're protecting me, they love me.
Yeah, so you can protect yourself from the feelings. Like sometimes students can be out. They aggressive to you, But you can, if you have that kind of God in yourself, you understand, oh, these students are mad at me, not because of me, but they saw something from me, from their past experience. It's like they saw their talents from me. They feel like I'm like his father, who's very authoritative, something like that. That's why he's mad at me. And you can kind of find a way to help him to, it's not me, something else. It's like a really kind of a counseling skill.
Yeah, right? Very communication.
Right? So in this way, some good counselors bring their problems to them. Bring their problems and help their patient, what is their problem through me. And then when they identify their problems, as like very objectively, they begin to solve their problems from there. Okay. So it's a little bit something else.
So spending time, I think, build a relationship, and we, become friends. At the same time, we have just more than just buddies, secrets, pasta. John is my son, so I want to become friends with him.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm his father. So this is bounding. I'm a shepherd, according to shepherd. So bound that in Christ.
Mm.
And then any other questions? And then So the Heavenly Father, we thank and praise God for blessing our discipleship group here. And thank you that this is set up. And the two face of which I would come, how God could each of us to be a disciple of Jesus and disciple Bacon. But then I went to the men as a highly teacher, but we went to really follow the footsteps of Jesus, who is the best and perfect disciple Bacon. We went to really help our highly students to go as the disciples of Jesus. And so we went to really also help them to become a disciple makers. And please help us to learn of Jesus and keep going in Jesus and we may become a confident shepherd and a Bible teacher and disciple maker. And so help us to really thank God for God's calling and we may also have a conviction as disciple makers. And so please give us your wisdom so that we may develop confidence and also collaboration and communication skills, and we may become a fruitful disciple makers. Heavenly mm. Father, please bless our church, and we may have a clear vision statement and mission statement. And so give us wisdom how to accomplish us our mission as a disciples and disciple makers. And thank God for helping mission to serve and share our experience as a disciple maker at BYC. And continue to bless her fellowship, servant fellowship, that the child, and use their fellowship fruitfully as disciple of making our fellowship. And thank you, Saint Sarah Lee, he might be a blessing and use them as a fruitful disciple maker. I thank God for this time of prayer. I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thanks so much.